your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hockey fans, happy Monday, and welcome to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we're covering all the biggest stories in the National Hockey League all week long. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. You can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20, and you get 20% off your next order. My name is Sarah Avampato, also host of Locked On Los Angeles Kings, also co-host of the Wednesday edition of this show, and today I am bringing you three stories about three teams who would like to be in a different position than they're in right now. First up, we've got Jess Belmosto, host of Locked On Calgary Flames, who were so unhappy with how things are going that they fired their coach and brought in none other than Daryl Sutter. We look at that change first up on the show. After that, we've got Matt Best, one half of Locked On Predators, looking at the situation that the Predators find themselves in as they continue to sort of tumble down the standings in the Central Division. We close things with the Buffalo Sabres and Joe DiBiase, part of Locked On Sabres, who takes a look at the Sabres' lengthy playoff drought and what they need to do to turn things around. So that is all coming up on today's show. We're going to start things right now with Jess Belmosto of Locked On Calgary Flames and their new best friend, Daryl Sutter. So the theme of today's show is kind of teams that are unhappy. We've called it the misery hour, or the misery half hour, I guess we could say. And one of those teams was so unhappy that they just made a big change. And not to give you guys too much of a peek behind the curtain, a look at how the sausage is made, but our next guest, we had been talking earlier in the week about having her on just to talk about her very unhappy team. And then the other day, they made a big change, and I was like, well, I'm glad we've already set this time up. So today we have Jess Belmosto, host of Locked On Flames, who we were going to talk about your team struggling, and instead we're going to get to talk about, well, that and your new coach. So what happened? What happened to the Flames to get them to this point where they made a literally middle of the night? I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning my time just randomly, and happened to look at my phone and they had just like announced this move. So it was literally middle of the night.
Yeah.
What happened?
So let's rewind to last Monday. The Flames lost, I believe it was 7-1 or 6-1. It was just a discouraging amount of goals to lose by and against the Ottawa Senators. And Brad Treliving was at the game. And everybody was kind of like, well, that's weird. You know, why would he travel to Ottawa, especially in like the middle of a pandemic? But that's besides the point. And Claude Julien had just been fired after losing to Ottawa. So everybody was just kind of like, okay, guys, this is it. And I personally thought that it was happening after that game. I didn't know what their game plan was, but was that Monday night that they fired Ward? I don't even know. It's just been such a blur. But, you know, after a really disappointing two losses and then they to Ottawa and then they won a fantastic game and then they went back home and they won like 7-3. And then I was like getting ready for bed and one of my friends texted me saying, hey, Jeff Ward's been fired. And I was like, April Fool's isn't until next month. Can we let it be? But yeah, I mean, I guess the Flames had had enough.
It's always interesting whenever you know, like, you know it's coming, but you never know when it's coming. Yeah. And I do enjoy sort of the fact that Ottawa is like the predictor, like all these teams keep losing to Ottawa and then firing their coach. So now everyone's just afraid, I think, when they play Ottawa, which is really funny. Do you think like this is going to fix it? Or is it sort of a, we don't know what else to do. We can't trade all the players. This is the only, you know, string we can pull.
I really think that it's kind of 50-50 there because they haven't had very good coaches that have coached this core. And I mean, they've been able to make it work. But if you look at, you know, how many times they've made the playoffs, or and especially early round exit playoff, you know, things like that. It really does come back to mismanagement. And Jeff Ward had no real NHL head coaching experience before this. So it was kind of interesting that they had offered him a multi-year deal without making phone calls to anyone else. And then to bring Daryl Sutter out of retirement, I don't know. It's what is going on? It's just another day in Flames paradise.
It seems like that's the theme this year, I think, for many teams, is just what is going on? We have no idea.
Yeah.
Welcome to how wild it is.
Basically, I feel like they're kind of just like spinning a wheel or like pulling names out of a hat to like, or asking a magic eight ball to make decisions, because some of these I just don't understand.
Looking at the team and looking how they have underperformed, is there something you would pin it on aside from coaching? Like, are players just not, you know, living up to expectations? Is the goaltending good or bad, or is somewhere in the middle, or is it a little bit again of everything?
I do think it is a little bit of everything. I mean, the Flames are 1-10 when they are trailing in the third period. So I think that, you know, they fall behind early and they don't necessarily have that gas and the steam to push them through the next, you know, two periods or however long it may be. So it is kind of a little bit of, you know, like motivation maybe. But I do think for the most part, players are pulling their weight.
What do you hope that the addition of Daryl Sutter is going to accomplish for the Flames to help turn this around for them?
I hope that, you know, with his experience and, you know, his resume alone, you know, I don't know much about the man. I know that his name is tied to some serious allegations, but, you know, I'm hoping that somebody who has, you know, that experience and caliber of coaching ability can just kick this team in the butt and say, okay, you know, it's either go out there and win or you're getting traded. I think that the leash has been a little bit too long for some of the players. Now, I'm not saying you have to trade away Johnny Gaudreau because he goes on a, you know, 5-game goalless drought or anything like that. But I think that there might be a little bit of, you know, what do you call it? Like accountability if players don't start getting it together.
And then looking at the Flames schedule over the next couple weeks or so, you've got Montreal, you've got the Oilers, which are, you know, Montreal's having its own problems. They just fired their own coach. And then you've also got Toronto, which somehow is running away with this division. What's kind of your hopes for the next couple of weeks in the Flames schedule? How do you think this is going to shake out for them?
I really hope that it brings some sort of competitive edge to the team and kind of reignites that spark that they've had. Like, we've seen it in games. They're currently playing Edmonton right now, and they're winning 1-0. There's been two fights, and I'm not saying you have to be physical or anything, but you need to go out on the ice and show your opponent you're serious. And they had held Edmonton to one shot on goal through, I think, like 11 minutes, and that's pretty serious. And I just really hope that there's better decisions made and maybe a little bit less line juggling with players who probably should be stapled to the bench or the press box, because you don't need liabilities out there.
Well, it is certainly an interesting time for the Flames, an interesting time really for the whole Canada division, who I think is now probably all terrified of playing Ottawa and losing to Ottawa, because you never know what's going to happen next. For people who want to hear more about the Flames, who want to learn more about your situation, where can they find you and the show online?
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter at Jess Belmosto, and we are currently in the process of getting our Twitter back up and running. So once that is available, I will absolutely plug that away on my personal account.
Thanks to Jess for joining the show. Matt Best from Locked On Nashville Predators is up next. We're covering everything you need to know about the NHL here on this show, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Continuing our theme today of teams that sort of wish they weren't in the situations they were in right now, I've got Matt Best, one half of Locked On Nashville Predators, here to talk about his team's situation. And so Nashville has been sort of a frequent topic on the national show throughout the week as we have been looking at them sort of in surprise of where they are in the standings and what exactly has unfolded this season. So for people who haven't really been watching the Predators, but happened to maybe look at the standings page and went, oh, wow, how'd they get down there? What is going wrong, I guess we could say, in Nashville this season?
To put it bluntly, if your name is not Philip Forsberg or Ellie Tolvanen, then you're just not getting goals at all or opportunities. I mean, it took a while for the Predators to call up Tolvanen. It was a kind of awkward dance, you know, at like eighth grade dances where everyone's standing on one side of the wall. It's like, I don't want to go first. No, I have no interest in coming over. Then it's like, all right, I'll make the first move. Come over here. And now Tolvanen's finally getting those top 6 minutes and he looks good. And on defense, it's kind of the same thing. If your last name isn't Yossi or Ekholm, you're pretty much not contributing to the team in a major way. And for Yossi, it's been tough on him this season, especially losing his D partner, Ryan Ellis. And now he's been getting guys like Dante Fabbro, Alexander Carrier. And with Fabbro, yes, he will be a good defenseman, but I don't think it's his time to be a top two defenseman in the NHL, nor do I think his ceiling is there. I think Fabbro will be a fine top four defenseman. And the defense is just kind of on edge right now. You see Roman Yossi almost dropping an F-bomb in a press game conference or post-game conference last night. And that's just, it's both parts good and both parts bad. It's good because you're happy to see the captain of the team step up and have some passion. But it's also bad because that just shows how frustrated they are. And then in net, the team expected UC Saros to just run away with things this season and be the incumbent number one. But due to an injury and due to just subpar play, Pecorines had to start more games than fans probably thought he would have. Heading into the games in March, as Justin and I have called them, the gauntlet, we expected this to be the make or break kind of stretch for the Nashville Predators. And for Pecorine and the Preds, you don't really want your 38-year-old goaltender to start games every other day. You kind of wanted that 60-40 split, and you can't exactly do that when UC Saros is injured and your backup goaltender now is Kazmir Kaskisuo. And Kaskisuo is great on social media. He's setting himself up perfectly for a post-playing career. I just think that he's a career AHL number one goaltender and the goalie in the NHL where if you need him, it's like in case of emergency, break this. And that's what's happened with this Nashville Predators team.
Looking at, you know, the injury situation, I know that, you know, no one wants to blame everything on injuries, but you do have quite a few guys. And like you said, Ryan Ellis, their names on this list that we know. And the latest guy added to that list has been Matt Duchene, who has had his struggles in Nashville, but he is still an experienced player. He is still a guy you can throw out there in, you know, in important situations. And so how much do you think these players being out, especially for some of them who are kind of long-term, is really impacting what's going on?
So with the whole Matt Duchene thing, it's kind of peculiar because Duchene has looked great on ice, but he's not putting up the numbers. And now that's okay to have in your lineup if somebody's making $2 to $3 million and they're underperforming. But when Duchene has the cap hit that he has, then not only does he become enemy number one for fans, he becomes enemy number one in the organization. And that's not to say that his teammates don't like him or anything like that, but it's just, it kind of brings down your trade value as well. And that's what the Nashville Predators team should be doing right now, is trying to shop everyone. In terms of the injuries and how that's affecting them, I mean, I touched on it with UC Saros and Pecorine. Having Saros sidelined is a big deal for this team. And having Ryan Johansson in and out of the lineup, a lot of people are mad at Ryan Johansson because he's also one of those guys making a ton of money and not putting up the points. But Johansson brings stability to the team because the team is pretty weak down the middle to begin with. And when you take out Johansson, when you take out Duchene, you have guys like Eric Halla who are having to step up and play higher up in the lineup. You have guys like Rocco Grimaldi who are now having to move from that traditional third, fourth line into the top six. Nick Cousins was even getting time on the first line, and you're seeing guys like Mikael Granlund. I don't know if this is by design, but he was getting first line center minutes with Forsberg, and that looked pretty good for his trade value there. So there hasn't been a stretch of games where the lines have been consistent, and for any hockey team that's detrimental, but especially for one like the Nashville Predators, that doesn't work out well, and you can see that in the record.
Well, you did lead very nicely into another thing I wanted to ask you about, which is the trade deadline, because believe it or not, I feel like every day we inch a little closer to the time when teams are going to have to make a big decision. And so what it sounds like from what you're saying is that maybe this year Nashville recognizes that they need to sell, that there is no miracle fix coming. So what are you looking to have happen once we start getting to the trade line? What do you think the team's going to be doing?
So there's a couple lines of thinking here. The first line of thinking is that David Poile is stuck in the 2017, let's keep running it back kind of mindset. And Poile has been, for lack of a better term, running it back every year since. I mean, going into this season, fans were promised a youth movement with the Nashville Predators. Then because of the shortened season, they go out and sign Granlund. They go out and sign Haula. And it's taking away opportunities from guys like Rem Pitlick and Phil Tomasino. So I'd like to see these one-year contracts get shipped out. I'd like to see Haula go somewhere. Haula's an effective penalty killer. I'd like to see Granlund get shipped off somewhere, and I'm happy that he's staying with some talent in the top six to keep just bolstering his trade value. And another guy that I'd like to see get shipped out is Mattias Ekholm. And fans are really hesitant to trade Ekholm because he's one of the most steady defensemen. He's easily a top four D-man. He could play top pairing, I think, on at least 10 teams in the NHL. But the only problem with Ekholm is you got to give away value in order to get some value back. For Ekholm and friends here on this Nashville Predators team, it's not 2021 draft picks that I'd like to aim for. It's 2022 draft picks that I'd like to aim for. Because if you can create a package to move up in that first round in 2022, that draft class is just so much stronger than this year's that that's the year that you should really be targeting to not start the rebuild, but really kickstart the rebuild, because the rebuild should be happening as we speak right now. Because this gauntlet in March that the Preds have to face before the trade deadline is a little tough. Only two games against the Red Wings, and everyone looked at the Blackhawks like they were going to be a joke, and Kevin Lankinen and Patrick Kane and friends are proving otherwise.
Well, we will close today. I will ask you a question that I know that I asked Justin kind of at the beginning of the season as things were ramping up, and it was looking towards the future of the Predators. And before the season, we didn't exactly know what was going to happen on ice. We didn't know it was going to be exactly like this for Nashville. But I asked him that if things go a little pear-shaped this year, is it David Poile's job on the line? Do you think there's any suggestion that his tenure may be coming to a close as the Predators head towards their own rebuild?
The toughest part about that is, personally, I would like to say yes, but with everything going on with the Nashville Predators, they could finish dead last, and I think David Poile will still have a job. Just because of the way ownership and management is set up, it's not a single owner kind of thing. It is a group owner kind of situation in Nashville. And so I think David Poile's safe for at least another season. And if he commits to the rebuild, I think he's safe to see it through.
Well, lots going on in Nashville as they try to make the best of what they can, I guess, out of the rest of this season. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on the team and what they need to do going forward. For listeners out there who want to hear more from you and learn more about the Predators, where can they find you and your show online?
You can find me on Twitter at bestofmatt. You can find our show at LO_Predators. And you can find my co-host Justin B. Bradford at Justin B. Bradford.
Thanks to Matt for joining the show. We're going to close things out after this with Joe DiBiase and the news on the Buffalo Sabres. First, though, let's talk Built Bar, because you probably know already, we've been telling you all about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. You've been hearing us talk about it for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now it's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is Apple Almond Crisp versus Churro Puff. And I've got to be honest with you. The fact that there is a Churro Puff and no one has told me about it before and I have not had the chance to try it really makes me sad because I really would like to try the churro puff. So I can't make, you know, an educated decision on today's Built Bar matchup because there's a churro puff flavor out there that I have not had, and therefore stop the presses. Someone send me churro puffs immediately. I have had the like vanilla marshmallow puff things. Those have been pretty good, but churro flavored? Man, I'm here, Built Bar. My mailbox is open. I need that churro puff. If you want to see all the flavors available, if you want to vote on your favorite Built Bar flavor, go to builtbar.com or find them on Twitter, search for Built Bar on there, and see what's up with Built Bar Madness. When you're shopping, remember to use the code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. Don't forget to check back to see who's won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar ever. We also want to tell you about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football's over, but the NBA, college basketball, and of course the NHL are all in full swing. And if sports betting isn't your thing, well, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, and more. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, sports scores, and odds that you need. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and receive a 50% welcome bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You can get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and information to keep you ahead of the competition. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So misery is maybe kind of the theme of the week. I didn't intend it to be, but that seems to be what the prevailing topic is here on Locked On NHL today. And so we're looking to the Sabres for our misery hit right now. And we've got Joe DiBiase, host of Locked On Sabres, voice of many other editions of Locked On NHL. You hear him right here on this show. But today we're going to take a look at what's going on in Buffalo. And like, I kind of don't really know where to start. So I will let you just take it away with what is happening.
Well, I mean, the background is that the Sabres are in a decade-long playoff drought, that they're approaching an NHL record for that. Fans are getting restless. They have a captain and a superstar player that is getting restless. I mean, at least by human nature, you would predict that he is getting restless. He's shown frustration in the media. And this is Jack Eichel I'm speaking of, who's been here now for 5 years, going on 6 years, and he still has not seen any winning. And not even a playoff race, let alone making the playoffs. Like, you'll hear a lot about how Connor McDavid, like, well, will he ever ask for a trade in Edmonton? Is he frustrated with the losing in Edmonton? McDavid's at least one, been to the playoffs, two, won rounds in the playoffs, and then generally Edmonton, when they're not in the postseason, is at least kind of, you know, they're in the race right down to the end. The Sabres can't even get that. So it's leaving everybody to speculate whether Eichel will at some point hit the nuclear button and say, I'm done with this and I want out. Now, there's nothing tangible to go on yet that has happened. Eichel has not said that he's wanted a trade. It's not out there in the media that he's asked for a trade. The GM continues to say that Eichel has not asked for a trade and that there's dialogue between him and Eichel. So at this point, he hasn't asked for a trade, but that does not mean that it won't happen at some point. And it feels like a waiting game, considering how bad the Sabres have been this season. They're in dead last right now. So
I know there's no easy answer to fix this issue. And if there was, the Sabres would have done it already. But what are kind of maybe your like top three reasons why you think, you know, the Sabres can't get out of this, as you said, decade long?
Yeah, so I think it starts with a fundamental issue of drafting. I think sometimes the depth in on a team can be looked at as too minor of an issue, especially for fans. Trying to convince them that it's not the guys at the top of the team, it's not the leaders of the team who are at fault, that's a hard sell, because when it's just, oh, well, their bottom six isn't good enough, that almost seems like too minor of an issue to cause what has happened here with the Sabres. But at the end of the day, I do think that that is a big reason, and maybe the biggest reason why they haven't made the playoffs since 2011. It's that they've had good players up top. They've had Eichel. They've had Ryan O'Reilly. They've had Sam Reinhart and Jeff Skinner and Evander Kane. Kyle Okposo when he first got here. Like, they've had guys that have produced and were coming from other spots where they produced. Taylor Hall, too, this season. So it's very easy to look at those guys and be like, well, you're not carrying the load enough. You're not helping your teammates enough. But they've done such a poor job of drafting, where I could count on one hand the amount of players that they have drafted and developed into NHL players that were not first or second overall picks, where it's usually very easy to hit on those players. Like three or four guys, maybe, other than the top draft picks, that have showed up and contributed even in role player roles. That has led them to then go out in free agency and try to slap a Band-Aid over those problems. Like, yep, I need a third line center. We've got no one coming through the system, so I got to go pay Cody Eakin $3 million a year. And then that doesn't work because he's 30 plus years old, and you should have probably seen that there was a decline coming for players like that. It's a cycle to me that continues to happen, where they don't see anybody coming through the system because they don't draft well. Then they try to fix the problem by overpaying for veteran free agents. And then that generally doesn't go well, given if you're trying to build a team at all through free agency, that's tough to do. So that to me is the number one reason. I think goaltending right now is probably their second biggest hurdle. And it's not the starter. I think Linus Ullmark's actually been really good. I think he's been one of the more underrated starters in the league. His 5-on-5 save percentage is actually really good the past couple of years. But one, he gets hurt, and two, the replacement level has just been below NHL replacement level. Carter Hutton's been almost playing like an AHL netminder since he showed up. The numbers on that are, his save percentage is worse than anyone they've called up to replace him. So to me, that's a huge reason why they've missed as well. They don't have consistency in net. And then third, I think they try to jump the gun a little too quick. And that, by what I mean by that is, they'll have some players coming through the system and they'll think, okay, we got to accelerate this rebuilding process because our fans are frustrated. We haven't made the playoffs in so long. So let's go trade two prospects and a first round pick for Brandon Montour. They try to hit fast forward. And then that generally kind of contributes to that depth problem that I was talking about earlier that just doesn't go well. So, I mean, there's more than that, but I think those are the first three things for me that come to mind as to why this is going on 10 years that they've missed.
One thing I wanted to touch on that's come up a lot in the media, and I know here on Locked On NHL as well, is, you know, Buffalo has had a bit of a carousel, not only in the front office, but as coach as well. And there was the recent kind of dust up with Ralph Krueger over the whole Jack Eichel. Was he injured in warmups? Yeah. Was he injured in a game? All of that. And the vibe that I'm getting from media / fans is, this guy has now lost all credibility. And the vibe we're getting from the GM is like, no, this is our guy. We're standing behind him, kind of, sort of. What's happening? How hot is, I mean, I know this, the answer is the seat is very hot, but, you know, is it realistic that they're going to stick with him anyway, just to see what happens?
It's almost inconceivable that he's still employed, to me. I don't know how many logical defenses you can have for why Ralph Krueger is still the head coach. It fundamentally, this is very critical, but I think it's right that he just is fundamentally incapable of telling the truth to the public. And I don't need my coach to come out and tell me every detail about what's going on in the locker room or what's going on injury wise, because you're never going to get that. But there's nothing else to say than otherwise he sat there and lied to everybody about when Jack Eichel got hurt. So that kind of set everybody off in the first place. Then you had all of this Jeff Skinner stuff going on, where Skinner is at zero goals. And it's very easy to look at the stats both last year and this year on the surface, goals and assists, and say, okay, well, he has definitely declined in the last two seasons. But if you've watched Jeff Skinner, you've seen that he is getting a lot of chances. And two, he is doing that in almost an impossible situation for him. Kruger, since he got here, has been putting Skinner on the third or fourth line with, like, right now, all season he's been skating with Curtis Lazar and Riley Sheahan. Sheahan, who, by the way, was on a PTO in the first place, wasn't even supposed to be on this team. But those are fourth line, penalty killer, defensive forwards. I mean, if you sign Jeff Skinner to come here and score 40 goals a season, you can't expect him to get you anything playing with those two players. Yes, he should have more than zero goals. He should definitely be playing better than he is, but he's been put in an impossible situation by this coach. And you've got 7 years left of that contract. I mean, you can say whatever you want about the contract. I agree, it's one of the worst in hockey right now. But you've got to, to me, you have to take every opportunity to make it work, because it's not going anywhere. No one's trading for it. You can't buy it out. It's way too long of a term, given that there's 7 years left on it. So you've got to find a way to make that work. And I think fans are very frustrated right now, because it seems like Ralph Kruger has made almost no effort to make it work with Jeff Skinner. And then third, it's just the style of hockey that they play. I mean, they are not, you know, Vegas or Washington. I don't think they could go out there and be one of the highest scoring teams in the league. But this team has got good skaters, and it's got great offensive talent at the top of the lineup in Eichel, Hall, Reinhardt, Eric Staal, even Victor Olofsson. Like, they've got guys at the top of the lineup, and they try to play like the Islanders. They try to play lockdown defensive hockey. They don't let Rasmus Dahlin carry the puck into the offensive zone, even though it's maybe his number one trait as a defenseman. They kind of have him like, you hit the red line, puck off your stick. And there's a lot of restraints on players like Dahlin and others that I think fans are getting frustrated with as well. So it's the style, it's the whole Skinner saga. And it's too about like Eichel's injury and just what he tells the media and tells the public.
I absolutely forgot how long that it's Jeff Skinner contract was until you said, and yeah, that's something else. We'll close today by, I will let you play Buffalo Sabres general manager. If we could wave a magic wand right now and you were in charge of the Sabres, what would you do?
So this is a hard question for me to ask. I think the easy answer for me right away is to let Ralph Kruger go as the head coach of the team. I think that has to start now. In fact, I would be bringing in Bruce Boudreau as quickly as possible as my head coach. Now, if you're looking to win, like big picture, if you want to win the Stanley Cup, Bruce Boudreau is probably not your guy, because what is he as a head coach throughout his career? He's a guy that makes the playoffs almost every single time, but he's not really going to have a lot of success once he gets there. For the Sabres, right now, I mean, the idea of not hiring a coach because of what he does once he's in the playoffs is a completely foreign concept. Like, just getting to the playoffs sounds like a dream. So I think Boudreau fits perfectly for that. And the season's already over. I mean, they're in dead last. They are 12 points back. Like, there's no way that they're coming back. They're digging themselves out of this hole. So use this wasted season as an opportunity to bring in the new head coach, establish his system and his style of play with the roster, with the players, so that when next season comes around, we don't have to go through a 3 weeks to a month plus of, well, they started slow, but that's because the players were learning the system. Go through those growing pains now with the next head coach and avoid that at the beginning of next season. Otherwise, like, if I was looking at that question you just asked me from a roster perspective, it's such a hard question to answer, because it almost feels like they should be going into a rebuild. They have so much flexibility. They only have two defensemen under contract for next year. They've got six forwards and no goalies. Like, they could change over almost this entire roster if they wanted to. And to me, that sounds like a bit of a rebuild, but I do think that that's warranted. The problem is you're almost held hostage by the desires of Jack Eichel, because if you bring Jack Eichel into your office and say, we think it makes the most sense to go into kind of a mini rebuild here, and it might be 2 years before we're thinking about making the playoffs, it's hard for me to see Eichel leaving that meeting without saying, okay, well then just get me to a contender, please. Like, 'cause that's to me going to be a hard conversation if they ever have to have it with him.
There is a lot to do, and I'm sure that especially as the trade deadline gets closer, which wildly enough, I feel like is almost here. I can't believe it's been that long already. But we will, I'm sure, hear a lot more from you about the Sabres and what they're going to be doing going forward. Thank you so much for sharing in today's misery episode, I guess we can call it. For people who want to hear more from you, who want to find out more about the Sabres, who maybe want to figure out what it would take to pry Jack Eichel away from the Sabres, where can they find you and your show out there online?
They can check me out on social media. I'm on Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports, and you can check out the Lockdown Sabres podcast wherever you get podcasts. We are starting to dive in more and more to the Eichel trade conversations. I got lots from around the net. You'll probably be able to hear me on other shows too. I know new Lockdown Devils, Lockdown Red Wings, Lockdown Rangers. Most of the requests we're getting right now are people that want to talk about what they have to give up to get Jack Eichel. So you can hear me all around the network probably coming up in the next little bit.
All right. Well, good luck playing general manager in those conversations. And we'll, of course, hear you back here on this show as well in the future. Thanks to all my guests today for talking about their teams and the misery that they're all enduring. There is more Locked On NHL tomorrow, so make sure you come back for that. You can hear me every Monday and Wednesday on this very show talking about some of the biggest stories in the league. And of course, we've got you covered all week long. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show is on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Give us both a follow. Make sure you never miss a single moment of this show. Tell your friends all about it. Make sure you're subscribed if you haven't already. And come back tomorrow for more great hockey news on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.